Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, your mercies that are new every morning. And we do plead for those mercies today, Lord, that you would open our minds and our eyes and that we might see the glory of your kingdom on full display. And we pray that you'd help us in this morning hour to understand more of what your word says and how we can apply it to our lives as parents, and that you would be pleased to draw near. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are, if you have a handout, they are scattered around here. I think, might just, thank you, Dean. Somebody else comes in. And so we want to begin this morning kind of where we began a few weeks ago in the book of Deuteronomy. You'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we are completing our little study of parenting. And we've got a little bit to go. I apologize. We were out for a few weeks, and it sort of stretched the plan out a little bit. But and then Becky and I are going to be gone for an additional couple of weeks next Sunday and the Sunday after. So when we get back, we will finish this study. But it'll probably take us to the end of August to do that. But so we're kind of in this section now, thinking about how do we teach them? What do we teach our children? What are the things that they need to learn? You remember last week we talked about the sort of others orientation, the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and talked about how children are like us. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound up in my heart as well. And that foolishness causes me to shrink the size of the world down to my world. And it's my world that's the most important world. And what the gospel does and what the Bible does as we seek to teach and train our children is it opens up the world to include, wow, there are all these other people out here. And I need to be concerned about them. I need to be concerned about what my actions, my speech, the things that I do, what are the effects that it has on others. And further, not only that in a sort of negative way, but in a positive way, how can I be a blessing to others? That's what the Bible calls me to, have the mind of Christ, which is a mind that was geared toward others, wasn't it? I mean, it was geared toward us. He came for us. And so we want to seek to train our children, and that's difficult. It's like it is for us. We click our eyes open in the morning, and boom, first thing we think about is not maybe the person next to us or the first person we might see, but it's ourselves. What are my agenda? What are my plans? What are my thoughts? And to sort of break that mold, so to speak, is difficult. And it requires labor, talking, teaching, even disciplining in thinking about others. Well, today we want to talk about just the whole of life with God in it, a sort of God awareness of everything. So we're not talking necessarily this morning about specific things to teach, but a sort of world view. How we as Christian parents, how we view the world, and from a biblical frame, and teaching them to do it as well. And so Deuteronomy chapter 6, again, we began with this and thinking about ourselves and how important it is that we are following the Lord, loving the Lord, because children are watching. They're watching us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words, so those two verses there speaking to us, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Okay, so that's 4, 5, and 6. That's geared to us. But then look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them. So he uses two different words there, teach and talk. Okay, I don't know there's a wide difference there, but it brings up the notion that this is just sort of an everyday thing. We're just talking, okay? We're just talking. And what do you talk about? Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. That's just every day, isn't it? And that's all the issues of the day. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Hebrews actually literally did that. They put these frontlets on their foreheads that had verses in them, put them on the gates of their house. Many of you do that. You have calligraphy and the Word of God, and that's great. But I think the sense of this is that the notion of God, the existence of God, the beauty of God, the glory of God is to be our thinking. It's just a natural thing for us to talk about God and to talk about His glory. And I've just jotted a few things down here that we can kind of think about a little bit. That might kind of stretch our thoughts. One is just creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Okay, that's a way that God reveals Himself, and we can be teaching our children that God reveals Himself in the things that He's made in the creation. We had a memorial service Friday for Catherine Myhand, who is the cousin of Jerry Lampley and lived with Lewis and Jerry for many, many years. And I have this memory that's fixed in my mind about Catherine. Catherine was mentally disabled. She was challenged mentally, and so she was a simple person. But she had this simplicity about her in just the things of life that she observed. And I have this picture of her, this memory of her. We were down at the Haven where the Lampleys live in South Alabama, beautiful place. But one afternoon it rained, and it was just a shower. It wasn't a big thunderstorm. It was just a shower. And it really was beautiful, pleasant. And I remember walking out on the front porch and just kind of looking, at the rain. And I caught out of the corner of my eye, Catherine was in her bedroom, and she was laying on her bed, and she was just propped up like this, and she was just looking at the rain, and it said this seraphic, angelic look on her face. She was just enjoying the creation. She was enjoying the glory of God. At least that's what that was the thought I had. And we want to instill. We are busy people. We're running to and fro, and quite often we can just sort of skip over the beauties of God's world. And we want to communicate. We maybe take a. You see that sunset? Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever seen a sunset like that? Just the glory of God in the things that He has made. And that's just, it's not like, okay, I'm gonna talk about this today. No, it's something that we ourselves are not just aware of, but we ourselves glory in God and His greatness and His majesty. And so it becomes a sort of natural thing that we talk about in our lives. And it actually leads into one of the great doctrines of the Bible, and that is God's way of revealing himself. Okay, he's revealed himself to us in the creation. So there's thunderstorms, there's a lightning and thunder, there are sunsets. You know, when it's really hot or when it's really cold, who's doing that? That's God. When it snows, you know, and you wake up in the morning, the snow covered the ground, which here doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We see it. We get to see it. So just a bringing up God. In other words, we can see the creation, but we can take a step further than that. Where did this come from? Who made this? Who's causing this to happen? Psalm 29 says, the God of glory, what? Come on now. The God of glory thunders. So whenever you hear thunder, you can go, Psalm 29. That's the God of glory. He's thundering with his, that's his mighty voice in the world, you see. And sometimes these tragedies that occur, earthquakes, tsunamis, it enables us to talk about God and enables us to talk about the judgment, you too. That God brings devastations upon the earth. Not sure which psalm that is, but that's what he does.
It is in Psalm 18. I remember you teaching that.
Yeah. So he does all of these things, okay, in the creation. And we don't want that to just skip over. We don't want that to be just, you know, something we might teach in a Sunday, you know, in a evening Bible study, okay? So there's all these opportunities as the day goes on, okay? Second thing, and here you have to be careful about the capacities of your children, their ages and so forth, where they are. But the things that the Lord is teaching you, the things that the Lord is showing you, your own learning, what the Lord is teaching you. Sometimes that comes through sin, doesn't it? The Lord reveals sin. He shows us sin, and we can talk to them about that. I think sometimes children kind of look at us like we're perfect or something. You know, you kids think that way, do you? But they can have this sense that, oh, they never do anything wrong. They're always doing everything right. No, we mess up, you know. And what the Lord teaches us often through those things. What are we ourselves seeing? What are we learning? Okay, talk about them. Talk about them as you go along in your life. And I said you have to, understand the capacities of your children. Their ages and, you know, capacities to take in truths and so forth. But they need to see that. They need to know. How do you deal with difficulties, you know, with trials that come? And not only how do you deal with them yourself, but an opportunity in difficulties of teaching. Okay, here's a hard thing. You know, the Lord's laid this hard thing. Maybe it's on us. Maybe it's on them. There's some difficulty that they are facing. You know, in school, somebody says something mean to them, or you know, a friend doesn't act friendly, or maybe it's a failure in sports, or you know, anything. Difficulties. Life presents us, doesn't it, with difficulties all the time. And we talk to our children about those things. We can take them, you know, to the Word of God. This is what God says. I remember when we were reading Paul Miller's book on, the J curve from Philippians 2, that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, and therefore God has highly exalted him. There's this sort of J curve. You understand what I'm saying? The sort of J curve in Jesus' life. Well, if we're Christians, that curve that happens to us quite a lot, where the Lord disappoints or sends disappointments. He sends trials. He sends hard aches, and we see them. We deal with them, And then we see also the resurrection, you know, even in our lives. We see how things have worked for the better, even through this difficulty, you see. And so we want our children to not only to observe that in our lives, but for us to be able to talk to them about that, to talk to them about, you know, we face this difficulty, and look, see what the Lord's done. See how he's taken care of us, you know. We can take them to the Scriptures, but that's a sort of daily thing. And then their difficulties as well, helping them to kind of think through difficulty, trial, temptation in a godly way. So these are everyday things, aren't they? Okay? We're not talking yet about, you know, morning devotional, evening devotional. So this is just during the day. Stuff, you know, the stuff of life and bringing up God in it. Becky?
Well, I know you have prayer down here, but I was thinking just from my own experience. It's our kids have to trust the Lord, but it's easy for us to fret without even realizing we're doing it. You know, just to be discouraged or complaining and not even recognizing what we're communicating. And I'm saying this because I did it. So, but how helpful it is, especially between, you know, husband and wife, or even if you're just to recognize, wow, this is really an opportunity to pray in front of our children about this, that we don't have to worry.
Yeah.
And there's nothing too small. Mm-hmm. The smallest things are the mass of our human life.
Mm-hmm.
It's made up of a million little things that happen every day.
Yeah, I heard Paul Tripp say one time that the measure of our Christian life is not the big things that we do, it's the little things. It's the little things. You know, just the daily, day in, day out stuff, you know.
We
live in the small moments of life. And so we can help our kids to think, to begin to think that way. Remember what we said last time, you know, it's the Lord. It's the Lord who's going to save them. We're not going to save our kids. It's the Lord who saves. But what we want to try to do is to sort of carve out these paths, helping them carving out these paths of the Christian life so that when the Lord does save them, he makes it a thoroughfare. You know, he makes these paths just wide open. And so they're able to walk. So we're seeking to carve out this little path that they may not really completely understand. It's the good way, it's the right way. And when the Lord comes along then with grace, he just enlarges that, their usefulness in the world, their understanding of God's ways. It just grows exponentially. So we can't get discouraged if they don't, if the thoroughfare doesn't happen, you know, it may be a little small path, but the Lord is able to make it bigger. Okay, so the creation, the things the Lord's teaching you, difficulties, trials, and then the morning. I think the morning is a great opportunity. Our eyes clip open. Think of the psalm, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, I mean, just that sort of way we approach the day to communicate that to them. We got something actually from the Kellys when our kids were young. They were called wisdom nuggets. And we would do them in the morning, not every morning, okay? We weren't perfect. But with something from the proverb, like we'd read, if it was May the 3rd, we'd read Proverbs 3. You know, if it was May the 8th, we'd read Proverbs 8. And we'd pick, we'd have the kids pick out a verse that they would try to think about, you know, during the day. You know, how would this verse apply? You know, just a little thing. And then come back and, you know, later on. And that's just one thing you might think about to begin the day with bringing up God, bringing up his word. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Is that our thinking about the morning? Or is it, morning? You know. And then Thanksgiving. Scriptures teach us to be thankful in all things. To be thankful. So, and, you know, Becky mentioned a while ago that kids pick up on our moods, you know, our attitudes. And so if we're, you know, if life is one big complaint, you know, they'll pick up on that. If there's some thankfulness that exudes from us, that they'll pick up on that as well. So these are just daily. How do I approach the day? How do I think about what's in front of me, and then what is behind? What, you know, be thankful in all things. This goes back to the difficulties, the trials, the temptation. Here's an opportunity for us, you know. Here's an opportunity to see, okay, well, what does God want me to see and think about in this thing? And I think a lot of times losses, trials, temptations are opportunities for bringing up God and thanking him that he is interested in us, that he in his sovereignty is going to take us through some difficulties so we can see that he's great and he's mighty and he loves us. He's going to take care of us. And having that sort of big picture, that frame of God. And then finally, prayer. You know, that again is daily, maybe it comes up in the car, you know. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and we were talking about something. He said, "Brother, why don't you pray for us?" I said, "Well, I'm driving, so I'm going to keep my eyes open, okay? I normally close my eyes." But he said, but it's just a daily, you know, it's just a daily thing. It's not like, okay, we're going to pray at our meal. Okay, that's great. That's good. You know, opportunities there. But when things come up and during the day, you know, you might admit, you know, I'm not so sure what to do about this. I'm not so sure how to advise you in this. Until our kids get older, let's pray about it. You know, we need wisdom. So let's ask the Lord, okay? And just, again, God in all things, okay, bringing up God in just the daily facts of life. Your thoughts?
Matt? Yeah, you started out saying this is a worldview you're trying to teach us. And you know, I was thinking, you know, probably 3 months ago, 4 months ago, you wouldn't have seen any of this in me. Just because, and in order for me to teach my children, this is my son right here, teach my son these things, it has to be in me. It has to be in me. And if God isn't in me, then I can't share this with anybody else.
Yeah.
So it starts with making sure, I mean, we can come to church and everything, but if we're not, if we really don't have God in our lives, if we're not turning our lives over to him, we have nothing to share with anybody.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, it's, and what is it? Somebody said things things are better caught than taught. I think they probably both, you know. but the things of God, they really do begin with us. And that's why we began with this passage, you know. Weeks seemed like it was a year ago, but it's not that far. Because it says, "The Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And that shall be, these words shall be on your heart. Okay? And then you shall teach them. Right? So there's a mediation to our kids. Yep.
Oh, you know, we didn't do a great job at all of this, but I was thinking how just, you know, if you recognize it with your children, how important it is for, and it compels you to want to do these things, and then it kind of helps you because we're naturally going to be self-focused.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But just the Lord's Prayer in the morning. You know, give us what we need today, you know, our daily bread, and
forgive us our trespasses. Your will, not mine. You know, I mean, it's just so much.
When you're teaching your will to talk about why that's so much better, just the character of God, His omniscience, His immediate, you know, the fact that He will never change, that He's loving. It's a lot of opportunity in that one prayer to talk about who God is.
Mm-hmm.
While we do want His will.
Yeah, Becky was mentioning how, you know, the little devotional moments that we had, and you know, it was catch as catch can sometimes, but we would be reading things and the Lord would go, it's like, what about you, bub? You know, it's just, and the, you know, conviction. The wisdom nuggets, you know, like, man, I need this. I need to think about this today. So, you know, it's us, you know, and then teaching, trying to give what the Lord has given to us, and seeking to give to them, and even more, you know, even more, that the Lord would just open the floodgates and bless our kids. And when we think about prayer, you know, our prayers for our children and for them individually, you know, because God has made them differently. There's no two of His creative gems, no two alike. And sometimes we can kind of lump them together, but God has made them individually, and to pray for them and talk about them with your wife or husband and what their particular needs are, and you know, frailties and foibles, sin patterns, and so forth that might be different for each. So that prayer there is a big, huge part of this in thinking about, you know, our kids. Okay, part two here is just. Some suggestions, some thoughts. I know this is a topic that can bring great conviction. When do I find the time? How can I do? And let me just say that you know, regularity is a good thing, and being able to sort of have a sort of regular time, you know, things happen, particularly as your kids get older, ball games and so forth, and it just gets harder to bring everybody together. But if there's a sort of designated, whether it's the morning or the evening, around the dinner table or whatever, to take a little time that's just devoted to, you know, the teaching of God's Word. And there, I just put a couple of little things. This is for little ones, but we have these in our library, Leading Little Ones to God. I think it's a wonderful, it's by Marion Schoolland, I think is her name. And I learned a lot of theology, Leading Little Ones to God. And it was very simple, and usually had a little song at the end, and I'd make up a tune to go with it and sing it. And, you know, it was, I don't know. I liked it. I don't know if everybody else did, but it was good. And then there's a newer one that's come out. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible that I think is good. Now, we're talking about little kids here, giving them this picture. I don't know who wrote that. What's that?
Lloyd-Jones' granddaughter.
Yeah, Lloyd-Jones' granddaughter, Sally. Sally Lloyd-Jones. That's good. It's good. I've seen it. Our daughter has used it. And it's good. You know, little kids, you know, they need to graduate to the big Bible, you know, but little ones, I think it's good. Things like Pilgrim's Progress are good to read, you know, as a family. I love the Chronicles of Narnia that are story and fantasy and yet biblical underpinnings but just having time, taking that time. I thought about the Psalms. Now, understand what I'm saying here. All of the Word of God is useful, okay? Every word of breathed out Word of God. But there are some places in the Bible that I think are particularly important for us to get and for us to learn. And they're sort of, I want to say easy in a sense, packed full of doctrine in a small space for us to learn. I think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners. That's a great psalm for our kids to understand, to memorize, for us to talk about. Psalm 2 that speaks of how the world reacts to the Lord and who the Lord is, you know, the victory and sovereignty of God. Psalm 18, where David is just looking, gazing. I'm sorry, Psalm 8, where he's just the majesty and the glory of God. And Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. So you have the revelation of God in creation. You have in the second part of the song, the revelation of God in the Word of God. Those are absolutely essential doctrines for living the Christian life. Psalm 23, obviously, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But Psalm 22 comes before Psalm 23 and very much is attached to that because it speaks of the cross. It's one of the greatest pictures of crucifixion in Psalm 22 that there is in the whole Bible. And so to connect those two, how is he my shepherd? Well, this is what he's done for us. You see, this is what he's done. So 22, 23, Psalm 51, David's psalm of repentance. We want to teach what true repentance is. Now, this is, of course, as our kids get a little older. Psalm 90, the passage of time, the greatness, the sovereignty of God over all things. So there's some of these psalms that are, I just think, essential. You know, again, the whole Bible, but there are particular places that really give us, I think, an undergirding. Gospel of John, to read through really any of the Gospels, but John has this high view of Jesus, the exalted Jesus. I love Mark, too, because it's quick. It's quick, and it goes from one thing to the next. Again, the Proverbs. And this little thing, I don't remember where I heard this the first time, and I did not always follow this. And my kids will be, can say amen to this. But don't be too long. See there? It said, children are like long-necked bottles. A little long neck. So you pour, what do you have to do with a long-necked bottle? You got to pour in a little bit at a time. Now, if it's a regular pouring in, pretty soon that bottle is going to fill up, right? But if you just try to dump it all on them at once, which, again, guilty as charged. But I just think that's a good thing for us to think about and seek to put into practice. Children are like long-necked bottles, pour in a little at a time, okay? That's why I think regularity is really more, you know, important, because if it is a sort of regular thing, eventually you'll think, I don't have to do it all tonight. Okay, we can save some for tomorrow. Okay, and then number three is the church. How important the church is that. That we, and not as a duty, we go into church, but as a, this is our life here. Our life is wrapped up in the lives of other people. We do not live as solitary beings, and the Lord has said in His Word that they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. And so we want our kids to get an idea that life really is not complete apart from His church, and that we want to be churchmen, churchwomen. We don't want to separate too far Christ and His body. Okay, His body upon the earth are individual churches. So we want to show in our attendance and in our thinking that we belong to God's church. We are a part of God's people. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, that great command. You remember, too, that the book of Hebrews was written to exalt the Lord Jesus and to help us and keep us from falling away. And so here at the end, or toward the end of the book of Hebrews, he says, let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. There's that others orientation that church can actually help us with. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Some can fall into that habit. They can fall into that, well, I don't need this. I'm on my own. It's me and Jesus. And, that's not good. That's a bad habit. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near. The day of the Lord's return is drawing near. And these Sundays, when the Lord's people gather, we're telling our children something very important about life. This is very important about life, that to be a part of God's kingdom means being a part of His church. And again, that idea, I think, is caught better than taught. And it's just a regular thing. It's not like we're making up a new rule every Sunday. I mean, it's just, this is what we do. We're Christians. This is what we do. And then, other things too. Our Wednesday nights, our kids understood Wednesday night, mom, dad, they're going to be gone. They're going to go to church or group or whatever it is. And it's a time when we can have fun, because the babysitter's going to come. We can wreak havoc in the house and they're not even here. We come back and go, what's going on? That's all right. Okay. There's other things, just catechisms, I think are good. They're good ones out. There seems to be a sort of a plethora now of good, short catechism. Catechism is just question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. Who is God? What is God like? Okay? The work of Christ and so forth. So there are catechisms for children that we can use, and then there are bigger ones for grown-up children. So catechisms are good. Bible memory. I am so thankful. There are a lot of things, when I was growing up, I grew up in the church. We did a lot of Bible memory. We had these sword drills and everything. And I didn't always love them. But man, I appreciate it now, because there's so many of God's word that is still in my brain that came to me when I was 6 years old, and the Word of God just sort of flowing over me. And there's certain scripture passages, and I can recommend several that I think would be good to put to memory. We mentioned Psalm 1 a while ago. I think it's a great psalm to memorize and to be able to talk about with your children. And then the last thing is singing. You might say, well, I'm not a very good singer. Well, the Lord says sing. He says sing. So make that to be a part of your devotional time, is singing to the Lord. And a lot of things that click into our minds when we sing them than when we just hear them. This is not a part of Josiah's testimony today, but he told me that in the time when the Lord was saving him, that there was a hymn, and I can't even remember what it was, but there was a song that seemed to sort of plant the Word of God in him during that time. Gave him assurance. It just helped. I mean, the Lord says, you know, sing to the Lord a new song. And there's something about music. Music can be kind of dangerous sometimes, but there is something about music that helps to get the Word of God in us perhaps a little better. So don't shy away from singing. You may not say, well, I don't sing very well. Well, that's something your kids can laugh about. You know, it's the fact you don't sing very well. And you can have a good time doing it. So it's all right.
Okay. In this digital age, you can find all kinds of musical helps, hymnals online.
You can pull up
the music on your phone. And
yep, sing along with it. That's right. That's good. That's good. That's great. Yep. Well, that's all I've got. What do you think? Any thoughts or 10 o'clock?
One thing about church and being here is both to parents of the children and to us who come alongside, it's great for the kids to see this isn't just mom and dad's crazy little idea. There's this whole community of reasonably sane adults who live this way. So,
and teenagers, they see teenagers. They say, man, they're teenagers here. Boy, that's cool.
Yeah. The safe teenagers, the godly role models.
Yeah.
And just for us, like my children are grown, I have grandchildren, but they're not here, right here, right now. So to just be looking out for other families, you know, and being in each other's lives, even if I only see them on Sundays, just to be here, mentally, physically, spiritually, that these are my people. This is my church, and to let the little people know I love them and that I'm concerned about their lives.
Yep.
Well, if I have them praying for, I mean, I really appreciate that. Brothers and sisters praying for my children.
Yep. Jesus said, let the little ones come to me. You know, so he wants them to come to his house, come to his people, come to himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth as it is in Jesus, as it has been revealed to us in your word. We pray that, Lord, you would make us to be vessels of usefulness in our children's lives and the lives of others, that you would grow us up in the things of God, and that you would be pleased to draw near. Now, Lord, we pray as we go into this worship service, baptismal service, that you would be pleased to draw near, to give grace to all of us. May you come down with glory and honor. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.